All right, people, let's get into this right away. Today's offering is a Norm Nathan show from September 16th and 17th, 1994. I will call this one The Funny Farm Stand. Brian McKinley was producing. It all begins with a Jack Traffic sponsor read for Exxon. Then it's on to the Norm and Tony show, talking about all sorts of fun stuff. And the callers join in. Ruth, pumping up the farm stand. Tickets to Michael Bolton, coffee and coffee cake, grilled meats, a python, and Norm just wants to pet a llama. Fred's on the line, and then we jump right to a fun call with Robert from Everett, including classic heckling comebacks. Then we hear from a caller, Lynn, I believe was the name, talking about Sarge, a former Boston police horse with Manowar lineage. Linda, who's been laughing for the past hour. An out-of-state caller who has been picking up the show for about a week. And boy, are his arms tired. Clarence talking about the farm stand, Jack in Ottawa, Dan in New York, Fred in New Jersey, who's always in trouble and looking for some grandfatherly advice from Norm. Oh boy, what a subject. Norm's adopted son Raj from MIT, Sarah Nathan and some guy named Jay stops by live, Jim from Indiana, Mary Ann, who's working at another radio station while calling us. And now I'm on the phone and ranting about a speeding ticket my girlfriend received while we were on vacation together in New Hampshire. Addie from Everett, wearing her gingham apron, suggests a legal defense fund for me. Dottie, who loves the dumb birthday game. B in Braintree, she saw Norm's 2 seconds on TV and asks a pointed question. Eric in Boston, Bill from Chelsea, Betty in Sudbury, Helene from Belmont, who's trying to give up coffee, and Joan. Other farm fresh comedy. Adopt a talk show host. Norm talked right through the bottom hour news at 12:30, but will not accept the blame. I do an impression of Andy Jordan of CNN. Norm grills Jack as to why he didn't stay for the entire Comedy Connection event Norm was part of. Norm also explains his nightclub outfit. Norm pouring his guts out about dancing close. I, however, do not dance, but when I'm home alone. Tombstone epitaphs? Rob Floyd or Ken Newman? And a quick insert of Josh Binswanger introing Jack Hart. Episode 155, The Funny Farm Stand, stacks its way to your ears in 3, 2, and 1.
Credit prices are now the same. Stop by a participating station, apply for an Exxon credit card, and you'll get a free 6-pack of Coca-Cola. Exxon, rely on the tiger.
Your neighbor, he's my kind of man. I listen to no Nathan every time I can. On WBZ in Boston, the Norm Nathan Show.
Yeah. Oh, that's not what it's called.
Auditorium.
Shriners Auditorium, that's right. Up on exit 39 off Route 93. A lot of people ask, where is it? Just think of 93 and then reverse the number, and that's the exit number, 39.
What if someone did it the other way around?
You mean go up exit Route 39, yeah.
Get off at exit 93.
Yeah, you know where they'd end up? In Rehoboth or Seekonk. I made that up. I have no idea where they... I don't even know if there's... Well, anyway, Saturday and a Saturday evening. Increasingly windy and warm with variable cloudiness and a couple of showers. There could be a thunderstorm thunderstorm.
Where are you when this...
Sunday. Did I say breezy? Notice we've had for about 7 years now. Yeah.
Would that be Ruth? I guess so.
Okay, do your pitch and get out of here.
I'm sick of this whole thing.
It hasn't even taken place yet.
I sound like Robert. You took so long with the weather. I'm already here in my little hotel bed. And I'm almost asleep, but I said...
What do you mean hotel bed? Where are you?
I'm out here at the Shriners.
Is there a hotel near the Shriners in Wilmington?
Back in the Woburn area, but it's only about 5 minutes away.
Do you have any Shriners in your room?
Pardon?
Those guys with the funny hats. Is there anybody in your room that looks like that?
Actually, there's one of your radio fans here, or it's a lady. We're sharing a room. We have to be up by 4. And, you know, it's not a lot of time to sleep. But listen, though, whatever...
Who's in your room? Because Tony's getting through soon. And if it's somebody worthwhile, he can go and he says you can watch.
sound asleep.
With this eye being disgusting.
That's great.
Here's
I like
Tyler Moore. Listen, serious. Yeah. I'll be like Robin. I don't have a lot of time.
But... Okay, I'll sit back here and you go do your pitch, Project.
Yeah. Everything is set up beautifully, but this afternoon, because a very nice guy named Don Law gave me, $500 pairs of tickets. Give me a break. Wait a second. I'm very tired. We've been doing this all morning and day and night. I have, 500 pairs. The first 500 people who come in and give me $10 can have 2 tickets to the Michael Bolton concert for tonight.
For Saturday night at Great Woods, really?
That's correct.
$10?
3 o'clock this afternoon.
For $10, they get 2 tickets? $5
a
piece?
That's right. And they're lawn seats. But the first 500 people, so Tony will be there at 5 or 6, right?
Oh, the lawn seats. No, never mind.
You don't know, because that's not a bet.
No,
so
it
down
is.
There.
It isn't.
They're certainly worth that for Children's Hospital.
This is Great Woods.
Yes, but I have the tickets right in my...
Yeah, well, no, that's very nice of Don Law to do that.
Nice?
Yeah, very nice.
Late this afternoon.
Yeah,
and
that and a loaf of bread would be a great buy just to go there for those things
alone. And you can probably buy burgers, maybe. You can buy.
Yeah, you can bring a lot of food with you that you can get cheap at the farm stand and sit there in the lawn, watch Michael Bolton have little sandwiches.
That's right, Daddy. My voice is getting lower by the minute here. But anyhow, everything is set up. It's beautiful. We got lots of everything. And the Christmas tree shop really outdid themselves this year more than ever, and they always do. There's the most beautiful baskets of everything you'd ever want to see. We've got all kinds of produce, and we're all ready for the pancakes and blueberry breakfast and the coffee, and we've got the best-looking coffee cakes. I'm getting hungry talking to you.
You can even buy a basket and put everything in the basket and take it to the show.
And we have turkey sandwiches, and we have grilled chicken, and we have hot dogs and hamburgers, and we have 2 bands, No Waiting, and we have Norm Nathan.
I don't care about any of that. I just want to pet a llama.
You can. And we have the python.
You have the what?
A python.
A python. Yes. That would be nice.
Oh, when Norm arrives, there'll be a python there.
And we have Mr. Josh Binswanger said he's coming over. And we also have Mr. Peter Mead coming over.
See, well, that is really a treat.
I beg your pardon?
That's really a treat.
I have my finger in my ear because I have the radio on the other side of this room. But it really is all set up. It really looks good. And we have all kinds of good stuff.
Let's go down and trash the place.
Let's get a mess it up right now.
Let's go down and trash.
When everybody starts coming at 6 or 7 a.m., they'll find everything in shambles.
No, actually, we have two security guards there standing.
We'll trash them, too. We don't mind them.
Can
we'll
you see in the paper, BZ's overpower security guards. Trash farms.
Yeah.
Nice going, Tony.
It's like the Green Day show.
But I really just wanted to say that earlier because I figured more people who are interested in Michael Bolton be listening earlier than they would at 4 a.m. We have the alarm set to call you up at 4. Remember, I did that last year. 4 a.m. I mean, you know, when do we sleep here? Never. But we're going to raise a lot of money for the hospital.
Is that a busy woman who's with you?
No. But a lady that we met from All Night Radio was a big fan, and she listens to you all the time.
You don't want to mention her name?
Her name is Laura. Me. She sounds asleep.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Not hearing a word of this.
Okay. Hey, that's good. I hope a lot of people show up.
Yes, I think they will.
Ooh, you know what I just did?
What?
I went right past the news time.
Did you?
You screwed me up really badly.
12:29 on my work.
No, we're going to skip the 12:30 news in order that we might finish this conversation.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I just kind of loused up on that. That's my fault. That's my fault. You're here. But I'm going to have to. However, if I'm questioned in the front office by management, I'll have to blame it on you and Tony.
Oh, that's all right.
And Brian McKinley, because I'm not taking blame myself for anything.
They said they never listen. You said that.
I don't think they do. No, I don't think they even know I work here.
I mean, hold on. There's the phone.
Well, Ed Goldman will be here tomorrow, so watch it.
He will be there?
Well, he was here last year. So
he's the general manager of radio?
Something like that.
Yes.
Manager or something.
You know, I really get, truthfully, I get mixed up myself.
Yeah.
He and Deb Zion, I don't know quite.
Well, she's general manager of the whole thing, radio, television. She's the really big shot.
Well, he's
an underling.
He's general manager of radio and station manager of television, something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And also fried clams in season.
Yes.
Something of that nature. Well, I get a chance to meet him because he's only been here for about 73 years. No, I never met either one of them.
Nice guy.
No, I understand he is a swell guy, a really good guy, and recognizes older talent really nicely.
And actually, we weren't getting too much publicity until somebody I know spoke to him a couple of days ago, and I've seen more ads on this podcast than
ever. I see Dave Maynard's ads on television all the time.
Yes, I mean, this week it's been very good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we hope we have a good crowd. Let's pray for a really nice
day. I hope it's a nice day. No, we always get good crowds.
Yeah, we get good
That's
crowds.
That's not a problem. It's just that they don't flee home quickly when the heavens open.
I mentioned one more time. We do have bus service leaving in front of the building at 7:30, 9 o'clock, and 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Shuttle bus. You can get a ride to WBZ. They'll take you right here. And then it will return 10, 12, and 2.
Okay, very good.
Okay, so I'll see you very soon.
Yes, I will be there.
Okay, I'll have the eggs ready.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And I do my imitation of Andy Jordan for CNN. I figured, you know, we could fake it and maybe get
That's
by.
We'll scale. We'll have to skip to this. I tell you what, let's go right on to the traffic. And I'll introduce Jack Hart and his RCA Bluebird Recording Orchestra with the WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network. How you doing, Jack?
I'm well. How you doing, Norm?
I'm doing fine. How come the other night?
Uh-huh.
Why don't you... Well, do your traffic report first. I'll talk to you afterwards because people are in their cars and they want to know. And actually, we're doing traffic on the threes.
Oh, you betcha.
Boy, what a sellout I've become.
Holy smoke. This is the first time I've done traffic on the threes in I don't know how long.
Fire away, and then I want to talk to you afterwards.
All right.
The other night, you were at the Comedy Connection. Remember we had that thing?
Oh, sure.
Okay, and I saw you before with two other traffic people.
Yes.
I didn't see you after I did my shtick. That's an ominous sign. Because there was Paul Elwell, who's a comic, who pretty much closed the show. He was there later at night.
Uh-huh.
And he came over, and I said, boy, you did okay, Paul. I thought he had a funny routine.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't say anything either.
I see.
Did I really stink badly?
Well, you know, you started, and I just got so sick of it by that point that I just up and left.
Was talking, you mean, when I was doing my bit?
Sure, I figured that the light will be in your eyes, so you'll never see me leaving.
I see. Well, that's fair enough.
No, actually, I left about 9:15 or so because I had to get to my traffic post and prepare all my charts and graphs and, you know, computer-generated.
What baloney this is. Is this pitiful stuff or not?
That was lame.
Yeah, listen, I tell you what.
Yeah?
Let me talk to you later on, okay? Because I'm sick of this kind of dodging a question. Because I don't have a good feeling about that at all.
I wasn't even there, and the jokes you tried out on me I thought were pretty funny.
Well,
then again, I was just being nice.
You might have been really nice and done, too.
Oh, no, and that's a wonderful joke. Oh, God, he's been wrong.
Let me see if Fred was. Were you there, Fred?
No, I was not there.
I think his name is Bill Martin. Yeah. Anyway, hold on a minute. He did a shtick, and then he was the host, the MC for the whole thing. He was very, very sharp. Not only did he have a good routine at the beginning, his opening routine, but also he was very clever and very sharp, and he came back with some good lines later on, you know, tying it in with the people who had done their bits. So he was very clever. He was good. Paul Elwell, who we talked to on this program, he did fine. And there was one other guy. And it's awful for me not to remember his name.
That's all right.
But the professionals, they all did well. They did well.
Well, they're professionals, but you are a professional, and you're great at what you do now. First of all, you have a talent, what you do. They came to see you, not to see the professional entertainers.
Honest to God.
The people in there,
honest
you've
to
got
God,
the benefit
Rob.
Money.
Yeah.
You believe that?
Yeah.
Well, they
why
duped.
Do you put yourself down?
No, I think some of my lines were kind of funny.
I think you were funny and hilarious.
Funny. Can I tell you my opening? Should I tell the opening
line?
Tell me the truth.
Line, how you came on stage.
No, when I came
on...
In
the roller skates and the clown nose.
You didn't do that, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't do that, no.
That's garbage.
But there were a lot of people there who'd heard us talk about it on BZ.
Yeah.
Who showed up. A lot of listeners. I was so pleased.
That's why most of the crowd was there. Not because of because what you said on the air. It had to be.
Can I tell my opening, my line after the throw up line? No, I said.
Do your routine right now for the people who.
Oh no! I was wondering if they would have taped it. I was gonna not only play me, but I play a lot of the others who had some funny lines. No, the my opening line. Oh, no, this is too fat.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead anyway?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
When your head gets too fat, I'll just open the door. We can, it can leak out into the hallway.
And widen the whole studio so my head will fit in here. No, I said I do a lighthearted kind of program. I don't usually get involved with very serious issues. But I said, last night, a guy called me. See, this was Monday, so this would have been Sunday night. I said, it was kind of nice that he called me last night, so that's fresh in my mind. I can tell you about it today, which was kind of hilarious right there. Anyways, he called me and said, hey, Nathan, this is a first-time caller, long-time listener, and I hate your guts because I don't like your political philosophy. You're a leftist-leaning, liberal, do-gooder, bleeding heart. And I wish you'd die a slow, agonizing death and that your body would rot in your own blood for years. But that's not really why I called. I really called because 2 weeks ago you had a woman on your program who had a recipe for deep dish apple pie, and it sounded delicious. Could I have a copy of it? Oh, that is the weakest laugh coming back.
No, come on. No,
I thought that was funny.
I've only heard this 8 times, but
I thought that was...
My best friend, please, let me just talk for 1 second.
Oh, okay, you are my best friend. You're my best friend. Go ahead.
You walked out there with a tuxedo, and they only give you about 30 seconds on television. I'm ashamed of BZ that only give you 30. And you walked out.
I wasn't wearing a tuxedo.
You're beautiful, you are.
I wasn't wearing a tuxedo.
That's why you got all the girls after you.
Are you watching Bruce Wagler? You weren't watching me.
I was watching you.
You were watching Sheldon Scott. She had a tuxedo on.
Yeah.
I didn't. Well, I didn't have a tux. I never wear a tux.
I saw you with Did you put makeup on?
No, just a woman's dress. That's all. It was a mini skirt.
You didn't do that. I didn't see that.
Yeah, on the opera hose.
Yeah, on the opera hose and the spike heels. That was me with the wig. I always wear a wig. You know what I'm saying?
Norman.
Yes.
You still did a benefit, and it was good. You give your time.
He did give my time.
You went down, you showed up.
Yeah.
And you
from then on,
well,
it was downhill.
You did it with honest. You did it like a performer would do it. And
died along with it.
No, you did very, very.
No, it was nice. The audience was really nice. They were nice
of
for everybody.
They were.
I mean, for everybody. And I think we're milking this whole thing. Pardon me?
Nobody heckled you.
No, they didn't. It's too bad because I had some really heckle lines.
I know. That's what I told you.
Like, you know what I would have said? I was kind of hoping you'd be there heckling me. Then I would say, excuse me, sir, you're heckling me while I'm doing my job here. How would you like if I came to where your job is, I heckled you, and then slammed the toilet seat right on your fingers?
I
was all set
line.
With a whole bunch of heckle lines.
I got a funnier line.
Yeah?
Please, sir, let me do my job. Would I come down to your place where you're working? Now, that's another line. I should say. That's a lady's joke. Why don't you go home, sir? Your cage is clean.
You're my best friend.
No. Now, wait a minute. Here's another one.
Yeah.
I was going to do my impersonation of a jackass, but you beat me to it.
You're my best friend.
Give us one more, Robert. One more. You're on a roll.
One more?
Sure. He's a joke machine.
I don't have to do this for a living. Remember the old joke, I don't have to do this for a living? I can't do it no more. I can't think no more, Norman.
Okay, listen, I appreciate the call, Robert.
But no,
first time I've ever appreciated a call from you. Okay, I must be softening.
No. The only reason I didn't show up because I do not go where they serve alcohol.
No, okay. No, you're forgiven.
Will you believe me now when I tell you?
No, you're okay. I believe you. Yeah, of course.
Because I promise you I'd come.
Okay, just stop whimpering and whining. Stop doing that whimpering stuff.
No, I know. But I wanted to go, but the minute you told me they serve alcohol in there, I said, no way, because I can smell it.
You're going to repeat that 9 more times, aren't you? Your timing is usually impeccable, Robert, and now it's really rotten.
Well, I'm just happy to talk to you.
Okay.
And I know you did well, and everybody else did well, and they give their time for free.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
They did.
And
it was very admirable, and it was good to raise that kind of money. Thank you, Robert.
Take care, buddy.
Okay, pal. You're my best friend. I think I clipped him off while he was saying that. We'll take a break, and then we'll take... Will you dance?
I don't dance. I'll dance to a slow song.
Okay,
whether it's pop rock or something like that, you know.
Okay, so you sound like me. I'm the same way. I never learned how to dance.
I'll hold her close, and we'll just
kind of just move. It's actually just moving slowly and dancing.
The whole point.
When I'm alone, though, boy, can I tango.
I don't want to. I don't want to be watching. But that's quite true. I mean, when you there's a slow dance, you don't have to know how to dance.
No.
You just hold and you sway a little bit. But the idea, come closer, because otherwise it. I don't want everybody to hear this because I'm pouring my guts out.
Okay.
To hold a woman, assuming you're a man. If you're a woman, I guess holding a man. Anyway, or whatever. But holding somebody that you really like close to you while the orchestra's playing nice, romantic, soft, slow song, I think is just so lovely. You know, and a lot of us old guys will say, you know, what about the young kids? They dance, but they don't ever hold each other. I can't see that.
See, that's the only reason I'll dance, is just to do that. It's just to hold the person close.
So even though you were a young guy, the idea of a big band, which may sound hokey to you in a way, but it is a good excuse.
But it doesn't. No,
Well, that's really nice. I'm just so glad.
Yeah.
Wonderland just suddenly put the lock on the door without informing people who were there, and they have dancing every week. So it's now has shifted to Caruso's Diplomat up on Route 1 in Saugus, which is not too far from the Wonderland Ballroom in Revere.
They close one down. They open up the Roseland.
Yeah.
And yet you can still dance at Caruso. It's like, well, if the people are going up there, why weren't they going
I don't know.
There's something behind this Wonderland thing.
There may be some people who have, because they were going to close it a few years ago, and they had a tremendous amount of people petitioning to keep it open, and it stayed open.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about selling it to the T, and maybe the T tear it down and use it as an additional parking area. Mosley's on the Charles's still has dancing, so there's still some ballrooms that do still have, not full orchestras. I think even Wonderland had. Maybe a five or six piece orchestra, something like
still,
that. No, that's still nice. They were still, with five or six good musicians, you still get the feeling of a big band. Uh-huh. And that's kind of nice. A lot of people get a kick out of that. And like that. That's my whole story.
We were together at that, where was it? What was that place? Lombardo's in Randolph we went to.
Oh, right? yes.
That was excellent. With Bob Batchelder and...
Oh, yeah, and then the Hugo...
Baron Hugo?
Baron Hugo bands. It was kind of a battle of the... Was it Bo Whitaker? He's been there, too. That's a big fundraiser for the Musicians Union, I think. Was Baron Hugo?
That was excellent. Anyway, that was a nice time.
It was a nice time. Yeah. You know what another nice time is? I can hardly wait for the Miss America pageant.
Why?
I don't know why. It seemed like it would be funny if I said that. Because I think that's going to be one of the most boring things.
He's beyond compare and so debonair. He shines so bright. You're on BZ 103. Oh, please. Don't turn that dial.
Don't do it, please.
He makes me smile.
Who's that?
You're making show.
Yes, but they do that. You're
making show. You're making show.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you. I don't know who that guy was singing in the background, but boy, did he really suck, didn't he? Oh, my. Oh, what a silly way to make a living, especially at my age. I should be a distinguished, like, grandfatherly type, sitting there, you know, stroking my beard and reading old books or something. Seven is at 1 o'clock. Let's take some coffee. Was he sired by he was from Man O' War?
Right. And the reason I'm calling is because if anybody in the Boston area that was familiar with Sarge, he was retired, I think, about 4 years ago. My daughter and granddaughter acquired Sarge a year ago, and they've nursed him back to health. He's doing great. He's riding in pony shows. He's got a couple of second ribbons working towards his first.
Really? How old is he now?
Oh, he's 15, 16 years old.
Oh, that isn't too old, man. He's got a lot of years ahead.
I guess he was kind of worn down.
Well, his activities as a horse with the Boston Mounted Police, that's pretty exhausting kind of stuff. But as a pet and as one entering horse shows, fifteen is a good age.
Right. Well, she rolled in. They have this Uncle Harry's swap shop book, and she wrote as a 14-year-old that she was interested in the 15-hand high horse. And if anybody had one that she could buy or, work out a deal with, because they didn't have much money. And this lovely lady from New Hampshire brought the horse over here to Maine and, leased him for a year. And after 6 months, they started paying double and to buy the horse, and she agreed. And so in a year...
So she sold the horse, in other words.
Well, yeah, she just sold it.
Okay. She just... Okay.
It really... this 14... Or now 15-year-old and the horse are just doing...
She's about 15 hands?
15 and
a half. Yeah, she's a small horse then.
No.
15 hands is not
16.
Oh, 16. Okay.
Okay. No, he's tall. He's a big horse, and she spoils him to death, and they take care of each other.
Well, that's nice. That's very nice.
And I just wanted people in Boston to know that.
Well, the people know that, and they're just so pleased to find out.
Well, and I'm so pleased to listen to you when you're on. I wish you were on more often.
Well,
but
thank
I said that before.
Thanks a lot, Lorraine. I appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
And what's the name of the horse?
Sarge.
Oh, Sarge, you said that's right.
I don't know his official
name. That's okay. Just my best to Sarge. If you want to kiss him on the snout, that's okay with me, too.
Oh, I do. He's so affectionate. And he shakes hands he when he wants something, and you give him an apple or something. He raises his hoof, and he shakes your hand. and if you don't give him quite enough, he'll kind of shake his hand again, like, more, please. And
oh, that's very cute. That's sweet.
He feeds him apples and carrots.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet.
He's great.
Thank you very much,
friend.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. I appreciate hearing from you. Okay, I've never shaken hands or hooves with a horse before then. I can't. It's hard to imagine a horse lifting up his hoof to shake hands with you. Anyway, let's go to Linda in Halifax. How old are you, Sarge? And he paws the ground. That must be a funny joke there.
I've lasted the past hour.
Homeless place for homeless people in Dorchester area. Anyway, she spoke, and there were a couple of comedians, including the MC. And then the first non-professional, that is the first broadcaster, was me. And I was really scared to death. I never had done, I've talked before groups a lot, but I've never done stand-up comedy in a comedy club.
Uh-huh.
And I was really frightened. I had my daughter and a friend and a couple of friends and stuff with me, and they were lovely, so they helped. But, you don't know how, you just don't know how you're going to go over. And and so when they called me up, I probably expressed the thoughts that everybody had. I know all the others were uptight about it, nervous. And I said, I think I'm going to throw up. But then I went on from there, I thought, with hilarious material. But the only thing they ever quoted me on was that opening line. But I think, that in a way, that sort of set the pace again for the way a lot of people thought. Well, there you are. You have a club. There's about, I think it holds about 500 people. It's quite a big club.
Oh,
they've had some great, great names in the Comedy Connection of Faneuil Hall.
Yeah.
And then suddenly there you are on stage, hoping to make people laugh. And anyway, I'd love to try it again. I'd be more relaxed next time. But I had never done anything quite like that before.
Yeah. It's always hard to be first.
Yeah. So I really admire everybody who said they would do it. I mean, not only because they were helping a charitable situation, but also because it takes a lot of guts to do that.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were really quite good. And I really admire them for trying. They were okay.
So did Shelby Scott do a weather report or something?
Yeah, they did some... I think they had a shot of her on television. Josh Binswanger pouring confetti on her. She's out there covering these big snowstorms out on the highway and stuff. And there were some very funny lines by a lot of the people who were there.
And, well, that's good. I'm glad it went over well.
Bruce Regler had one funny line in which he said, he said something about when there's a tornado approaching. He always says when the National Weather Service says there's a tornado approaching, he's always wanted to come on camera and say, run for your life or we'll all be killed. Something like that. That required a little acting. His acting was better than mine. But everybody had some line pertaining to what it was they did on camera.
Yeah.
And they were good. I'm starting to mumble. But I admire everybody there because they didn't have to be there. They said, okay, we'll do it. Then they must have been scared out of their minds like I was.
Yeah, sure.
The rest of them all carry syndicated or network stuff. So you hear the same people cross the dial no matter what station you pick up. And it's always, I think, you know what I do? Hillary, and I think she ought to be drowned, and he ought to be. And the people start screaming and yelling. And I thought, just for, especially this time of the night, maybe we just giggle a little bit and take it, you know, lighten up a little bit. And that's the whole idea of what I do anyway.
Well, it's been coming in for a week or so, and I've heard you cut off a couple of people that called up and wanted to be kind of intense and bash President Clinton and all that kind of crap. And I kind of, these other stations, there's always all these gun fanatics and neo-Nazis and stuff. And
you sound like you have the same political philosophy I do, because that's the way they sound to me also.
I have to ask you something else. I obviously you have some kind of following, and I don't know anything about you other than that I just picked you up on the radio, but are you from Brooklyn?
No, I'm not. I'm from Massachusetts. I was born in Boston.
Okay.
And grew up in the suburbs of Boston, and I still live in this area. I live about 25 miles north of Boston, where I've lived for many years. No, my folks both were born in Massachusetts also, so we're kind of natives of Massachusetts. Why Brooklyn? Do I have an accent with that?
I had a professor. I went to graduate school in Berkeley, and I had a professor from Berkeley that was from Brooklyn, and you sound...
No kidding.
And I never had seen anything like it. I called Dave, and when they got there, my son, of course, and his wife takes care of it. I told him that he had to get plenty of help to unload it. And they said they have never seen anything like it in their life.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Apparently it's going to be a really great one.
This year is going to be a great thing, and I wanted the listeners to know it because they can get their Christmas gifts and showers, and there's some of them that absolutely will be the first time they've been seen.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I'll remind people again, the farm stand is at in Wilmington at the Shriners Auditorium, and it's off of Route 93. Just take 93 to Route 39. Just remember those numbers and reverse them for the exit number. And there you are. And we had a big gang of people last year. And the last couple of years, the weather wasn't too great. But this year, there is a threat of a possibility of showers and stuff, but I just have this great feeling it's going to hold off, maybe at least till afternoon. But it all begins around 6 o'clock in the morning, runs till whenever we're out of stuff, which could be 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So would you be down there too, Clarence?
No, I won't be able to go. I'm 91 years old.
Oh, my. That's right. I remember you telling me that. You sound a whole lot younger than that.
Yeah.
And quite, you don't have any trouble with your hearing or anything.
Oh, no, but I am legally blind.
Yeah, because even then, you know, usually when you get to be 91, I'd have to talk to you like this, but obviously you don't have to. You're okay.
No, if I wasn't legally blind, I'd be up there helping them. They work until darkness tonight, getting it ready, and my son and my daughter-in-law, they're going to be there at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
But I thought that this was so important that they know it, because it's very, very hard to get some nice-looking ones. And you want to look at it later today, give it another punch to let people know, because this could be the best thing that ever happened for the hospital.
I will bring it up again later in the morning, too, because I'll be out until 5 a.m. Where the hell are you going to put a wolf? I got the land for it. I wouldn't put a wolf there. No, that's Joe from Quincy, the intense guy with the chickens and stuff.
Well, remember we had someone on from, this is the right one, from Wolf Hollow in Ipswich?
Oh, yeah, but I mean, this guy is in the business with that kind of stuff, and he handles all kinds of exotic animals. No, but I mean, he's talking about our listeners, many of whom he figures, some of whom might want to adopt a wolf.
Yeah. The way you would. Backyard, it's about 14 by 12. That's a lot of running room for a wolf.
Could jump up and down if it could.
I don't know what my cat would think.
I can just see your cat, with his back all humped up, making these vicious noises with its claws extended 19 feet beyond normal.
It'd be nice though. Yeah, you get a wolf on a hot winter night. I'll be all right. On a cold winter night, I'd rather have a woman. But if the wolf was there, that'd be okay too to snuggle up to.
No, actually, it's dogs. Like in Three Dog Night.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, if I don't have a dog, I'll settle for the wolf at the foot of the bed. That's even better. You think if it gets a full moon, it'd make a lot of noise? Start baying at the moon?
Your ear is nutty as Joe is.
Yeah.
No, but he mentioned the wolf last week, and I told him I didn't want to talk about that. It didn't make any sense, looking for people who want to adopt wolves. I didn't think they were that, although I got a call or two afterwards, I guess, from people who said, what about those wolves?
See?
But I just hung up on him again, so that's the end of that. Till next week, he'll bring it back up again. I know he will.
All right, well, I'll wait until then. If he still has it, maybe I'll look into it a little further.
In the meantime, what we'll do? We'll go to Jack in Ottawa, Canada.
Oh, Jack.
Well, hi, Jack.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going okay, Jack. I was hoping you'd tell me that. I was hoping you'd say, I'm listening to you up in Ottawa because it's going so great, I wanted to get in on it.
Yeah. Well, about the wolves, I think he said something to say about the wolf kill in British Columbia. I think that's terrible and cruel, but I think it's even more cruel what he was suggesting about adopting wolves.
Yeah, I that doesn't make any sense.
Adopt the talk show host.
That's right, and they'll build a little corral, a little paddock for me. I can run around.
They'll build a little studio for you.
I can yell at the walls without anybody ever hearing me.
I'll put a cardboard microphone up there for you, make you feel at home in your waning years, and that's all.
And I'll probably be so dense by that point, I won't even know I'm not on the air.
You had mentioned about tombstones one time.
Yes.
And our gravestones, whatever. What about, if you die and you said, we can't say exactly what you said.
That was a routine I was going to use the other night. Yeah. I didn't.
Oh, you didn't use that?
No, I didn't use that. I don't know, because it had to use a bad word, see?
Yeah.
And I still find myself unable to do that. Because I work, come close, I don't know everybody is.
Yeah.
I work terribly clean.
Yes, you do.
Unfunny, but clean.
Unshaven, but clean.
Unshaven, and because I was thinking, if you had something on your tombstone that was X-rated, that was a kind of a tough word, like, this guy spent his entire 40 years, 50 years in broadcasting and never slung bull
bleep.
Okay, then I thought, would there be a problem with that, with the cemetery?
Mm-hmm.
Would they say, we don't take those kind of words? I mean, we're dignified. We don't allow obscene words on tombstones.
Mm-hmm.
And then my heirs could then fight it and bring it up to the Supreme Court, and I could be, even while dead, after I'm dead, I could be the subject of a whole Supreme Court decision. I could live a little bit longer, in a sense, way.
And your name probably wouldn't be mentioned in the decision. It would come down, and others.
But did you see the other story? There was a story out of, I can't remember where it was, England or someplace. It wasn't, now this was not an obscene word, but a woman buried, I think, her husband. And she called him Tom, and she wanted the name Tom, whatever his last name was, on the tombstone. And it was a religious cemetery. I forget what the sect was. But the man who ran the cemetery would not allow Tom. He said, it's got to be it's a dignified cemetery, and it should be his full name.
Thomas.
Thomas, the middle name and the last name.
Kidding.
And she said, I've been married to this guy for years. I never once called him Thomas. Everybody knew him as Tom and so on. So he made her recast the whole stone so that it would come out
Thomas and not Tom.
I thought, you know, I thought, isn't that kind of funny? Because I was just thinking about that on a, in a different level.
That's ridiculous.
I thought that was kind of stupid. I think there's a petition out now to get rid of this clergyman, you know, who's in charge of the cemetery.
They have nothing better to do.
Yeah, isn't that, I mean, you can't use a name that people call you by because it's not your formal name, so therefore get that tombstone out there.
We can have yours as a couple for you. We can put Norm Lance Nathan in there.
Well, what would you like on your tombstone? I know this sounds grisly, but it's not. I think a lot of people talk about this, and we were talking about, was it W.C. Fields who on his tombstone had said, was it a Robert Benchley? It said, on the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. Or somebody else said, see, I told you I was sick. So I think those are real epitaphs,
yeah,
I think.
Considering how the career would progress, and if I was on the air, I'd like my tombstone to say off the air when I'm dead.
Off the air?
Off the air.
He's off the air for good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would like it to say that, yeah.
I would like on mine to say, he saved the world for democracy.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be true, does it?
You're right. Now that would be a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only now, fine, there's no, you don't have any swears written on there, but now it's a lie. You don't accept lies on tombstones
either. Right. Maybe that same guy will be there, yeah. I'm trying to think of something even more profound, but something along those lines would be kind of nice, yeah.
This could carry the whole
world
weekend.
Will never be the same because of his courage. As a result of his courage, something like that.
And everyone would laugh when they went up. That's nice. You'd leave with a smile.
Yeah,
leave this world a little sillier than you found it, and you'd still be doing it with this tombstone like
that.
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe we could use that.
Because we'd still know you're so full of crap, it's funny.
Maybe that could be the tombstone. He left this world sillier than he found it.
Very nice.
What if I could talk my daughters into putting that on my tombstone?
If not, I'll go up there and spray paint it on there at night.
Okay. Let me take some more phone calls.
Would they consider that some kind of hate crime if I, you know, did that to your tombstone, only I said something nice about you?
No, they probably lend you the paint. I know those folks up there at the Oakdale Cemetery in Middleton. I know what they're all about.
They'll lend me the paint.
He lived his life as a woman. Maybe they'll put, somebody will spray paint that out there. I don't know where that came from. I don't really know.
That would be pretty good.
That would be.
Yeah. How about this? I'll go up every week and change it.
Yeah. Why does it have to be? What is it? Carved in stone?
Exactly.
Let me talk with Dad in New York. See if he's as silly as we are.
Going away.
Disconnecting.
Whatever it was turned out to be dead air. I don't know who that was.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Darlene's our former sex phone operator.
Well,
that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Well, I knew her. I had an insatiable crush on her.
You had an account. Come on.
No, 22 years ago at a summer camp.
Wow.
And I lost contact with her. She went on to college, and I went on wasting time and doing everything. I just recently got back in touch with her this July.
Yeah.
And I promised her that at some point I would call the show, and I said I would either mention her name, or if I was in the mood and if Norm was silly enough, I'd rave uncontrollably, but I've decided to just sort of mention her name.
Okay, yes. Now, what does she look like? Because she was she worked for Sexline, did she not? You know, one of those...
Yeah, she did work that kind of... But unfortunately, I'm blind as well. So I don't know what she looked like.
I don't know. Maybe she let you run your hands across her face. Can you picture somebody doing that?
No, I wouldn't.
Have you been blind long?
I've been blind all my life.
Okay, and there's no way you can. Would there be some blind people who could do that? Just run their fingers along a woman's face or a man's face and sort of get a rough idea.
If they felt that feeling of the face was going to give them additional insight, I don't do that myself. People, you know, have asked me, for example, you know, you want to feel my face? I'd rather not.
I thought it was an attractive lady like Arlene. You said you had a crush on her.
Well, yeah, well, now that's a little different. If you're intimate, then you might kind of do that.
You're both
fooling around.
And let me ask you this now. You say you've been blind since birth.
Yeah.
So you've never seen colors.
Nope.
Now, because I asked George Shearing, you know that name?
I know of him, and I saw him at an assembly hall at Perkins School years ago.
Okay, jazz pianist, who's also been blind since birth.
Right.
I asked him once the same question about how you describe color. I said, can you, you know what, when somebody says red or green or yellow?
I haven't come up with an adequate way to describe or even understand them. The only thing I can liken colors to is the quality of sound.
Like in what way? For example, if I said red, how would you describe that in by sound?
I guess that red might be kind of like a sort of a loud, forceful kind of sound, but I'm not really sure.
You're right. Actually, that's pretty much the way George Shearing described it. He said, like fiery, although you wouldn't know what fiery meant.
Right, exactly.
But he said it would kind of bursts out at you.
Yeah.
And yellow is more subdued, although somewhat loud, but green was very gentle, along with blue. Would you describe colors in those ways?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Can you tell a room the size or shape of a room, you know, by, say, clapping your hands to get the feedback from the walls?
Sometimes. When I walk into a room, there's a tendency that some blind people have that the professional heavies have chosen to call facial vision. And the way it works is your auditory senses pick up the echoes and various things about a room. Or if someone walks right by you fairly close, you might sense that something went by. You know, the mobility people and all this refer to it as facial vision.
Okay. Did you have a seeing eye dog or anything?
No, I don't. I use a cane.
Okay. Is there any reason you don't use a dog?
I have some very, very close friends who have a dog. Perhaps later in my life I might possibly consider it, but right now I'm still rather enjoying banging around with a cane. I don't even know quite why. I mean, I'm not a wild animal lover or anything, but I do like animals well enough, but I've never had one of my own.
How about a wolf? We got a wolf?
Yeah, we get to get
a guide wolf would be an interesting concept.
That's right. A seeing eye wolf.
Yeah, you see that in a mall? You know, just
Oh, what about a lion? Wouldn't that be great? Are you walking along with a lion?
Well, actually, we were working on several ideas. One of the ones we came up with was a guide hyena.
Now we're doing our imitation of a hyena there with our laugh. Now, that's interesting because just one note on George Shearing again, because at one time he would not have a... He mentioned this because I did a view to him when I did a Jesuit quite a lot. And he said he didn't want a guide dog at that point because he said people would notice he was blind. And I said, what do you think they're thinking when you're going around with a cane or when you've got your arm in somebody else's arm and they're guiding you? And later on, he got a dog. He said it was kind of silly, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, it's funny. I mean, a friend of mine who had recently lost her sight several years ago was apprehensive about carrying around her cane until a friend of ours pointed out, look at the cane doesn't solve all the problems, but it clears the path.
It sure does.
People see a cane come and they split. They run to the hills.
You sound like you're a fascinating guy, Dan. I appreciate talking with you.
Well, it's been fun and it's been interesting. It was neat kind of listening on because I called up and I was like, oh, you just hit the news break. Oh, boy.
Well, you hung in there and I appreciate that, too.
Okay, great.
Take care of yourself. Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. This is our friend Fred in New Jersey who gets himself into all kinds of scrapes and things. Hello, Fred.
What is it this week?
Hi. I'm trying to avoid getting into a scrape. That's why I called you for some grandfatherly advice.
Oh, you couldn't be fatherly advice. It has to be grandfatherly. Are you going to go the whole route? You devil. That's okay. Go right ahead.
I'm going to be 31 in November.
Oh, that's a problem right there.
I have a friend who is 77 years old. She looks a lot younger than that. I would say you would probably take her for being in her 50s. I've known her for a couple of years. We never have done anything sexual.
You better hurry up.
She now wants to, and yeah. I declined, and she offered me money. Is there something wrong with anybody accepting money from an old elder woman, a man accepting money from an older woman.
Are you making this up, Fred? I always have a feeling you're making up stories.
He has a story every week.
How could I make this up?
Okay, listen. Do you want to have sex? I would take a shit. I mean, I don't know that there's any difference in a way. If you turned her down and said you can't take money from her, you like her too much, she's a nice lady, but you just don't want to do that. I think you would at least be honest with her. But if you're going to take the money, what does that make you? And what does that make her if she's willing to pay? That's my guess. I don't know. Not being a 77-year-old woman, I don't know what will go through her mind. But I would think just be honest with her and say you don't feel like it. And unless you really need the money that badly, do you?
If I told her I loved her and took money from her, I think that would be sinful.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If it's just an agreement, tossing the hay, I don't think it's.
Well, does that make you less of a hooker because you haven't, you would be a hooker, would you not? I mean, how can you rationalize that?
Yeah, but I'm not looking for this. I didn't go out looking for this. I didn't solicit her.
No, but you're going to take money. What's the difference?
No, but I'm not necessarily. I wanted to know what your viewpoint was. Does it make me a bad person if I take the money, or does it make me a worse person if I turn her down?
No, I think if you turn her down, I think you're being honest with yourself.
But I really like her.
And if she's a decent lady and, reasonably attractive, she looks like she's in her 50s, you say.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why she can't find a man who'd be willing to have sex with her without being paid for it.
What stops you?
I don't think she wants another man. I think she wants me.
What stops you now?
What stops me from what?
From having sex with her now.
Because I really don't, I really consider myself a friend, and I like her as a friend, and I really don't want to have sex with her.
Then just tell her that you just consider her a friend. Just be honest.
I think I might hurt her more. I'm wondering if there's an easy way out.
Yeah, you could leave the country and never leave a forwarding address. No, I would tell her, I'd be straight out and honest about it. I would, and I don't think you're gonna soothe her feelings by taking money.
Exactly.
How much money would you take? How much money
is she offering?
She offered quite a bit. No, I would
not take money for that.
Her money's no problem with her.
Does that make you think that it's possible that it's because she's asking this of you that maybe she's asked it of someone else?
That maybe she's after what?
That she's asked it of somebody else, that she pays for it anyway sometimes?
I don't know if she pays for anybody else.
But mainly she wants you.
Yeah.
But do you think there's something wrong with an older man who takes a younger girl out and buys her dinner and, buys her clothes, maybe gives her an apartment or something? And, I mean, this happens all the time.
Yeah, I mean, if that's why she's having sex with him, because he buys her dinner, because he buys her clothes... I don't look upon that too favorably either.
I mean, Charlie Chaplin got married when he was, 81 to somebody who was...
Something like that,
32 or something like that? I mean, is this really wrong?
No, I don't know. Why did she marry him? Remember, there was a story in the news not long ago about a 30-year-old lady.
Nicole Smith, the Playboy
woman,
right?
20-something, and she married a guy 90 or 80-something, way up in the 80s. No, I think there's something kind of disgusting about that.
Norman, this woman might think that if we do have sex, even if I took the money, that then I would maybe fall in love with her and be her lover. So, when I say I might hurt her no matter what I do...
Yeah. Well, I would not take the money, and I would be up front with her about that. And I don't know whether you can even perform the sex act. Can you if you don't feel any great sexual arousal? How are you going to do that?
I could fantasize.
Okay. Hey, listen. I told you what I think. I got to go because there's news coming along, Fred. Let me know what you finally decide, and I still think. Yeah. He made the whole thing up.
Even if he made it up, it's fodder for conversation. That's for sure.
I would feel that there are going to be people going to call, and this is going to be one of the topics for a little while.
Well, I've seen your checkbook, so who are you to talk?
Get out of here. I sound like I'm going to do a whole stand-up routine here. No, I mean, if he's really a friend of hers, the best thing he could do. would be to have sex with her and not charge her. And pretend he really is enjoying himself while he's fantasizing. Wouldn't that make sense? Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. If my mother could hear me talking now, she'd wash my mouth out with soap. You said sex. Oh, no, she said, you said S-E-X on the radio. What has happened to you now, man? Okay, we have some open lines. Plus, we have a couple of spots. I guess, anyway, we can use some people for the dumb birthday game.
Who has a lot of courage and who stands up for people that don't have as much strength as he does and really fights for the American way. And I'll show you some naval wit.
You know, when you start talking like me, you're in very bad trouble, kid.
I always thought that was a pretty bad sign. But I got to tell you what we did tonight, though, Norm. My entry here at the dorm here, you know, we're organized into like five or six entries. And we went on a Spirit of Boston cruise.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a beautiful ship, a boat, whatever they call that. It's a lovely vessel.
But I have to tell you, you know, we went on a cruise, and actually what happened was, oddly enough, we got the same waiter that we did last year, because it was kind of an annual event.
Oh, yeah?
And, but the thing that really, you know, we like the cruise, we like the dinner, it's nice, you know, and they have dancing at the end and whatever, but they do some really, really cheesy show tunes in the middle.
Yeah, like what?
Like, you know, just sort of, they're not show tunes, they're just kind of like one of those, you know, random medleys that you often see on like, kind of stage shows.
Yeah.
And it's really extraordinarily bad. And it's just kind of, it disheartens us.
What kind of a group they have? A little five, six piece, or a smaller group?
No, they have a three piece band.
Yeah,
a drummer, a keyboard, and a bass guitar.
Yeah,
and then they have all the waiters and waitresses are also supposedly sort of actor singer wannabes or whatever, and so they all do all the singing too, in addition to doing the waitstaff kind of duties. And so in the middle of, you know, they'll finish one course of dinner or something, then boom, they'll go up and do a whole medley or something.
Oh. Well, now, did you have a date?
Yeah, in fact, we have what's called a blind date. We call it a blind date semi-formal.
A blind date semi-formal? Yeah,
which we say take whoever's signed up and we kind of draw out of a hat.
Oh, really? And that's how you get your date?
That's right.
You dare tell me how you made out? No, I don't mean made out, you know what I mean? I mean, so far as the...
What a choice of words.
I mean, the young woman that you got...
Oh, it was fun, but she already has a boyfriend, and so she kind of, after dinner, kind of scooted away or whatever.
Oh, she scooted away.
But I had a good time anyway.
Oh, that's good, because I can't imagine anybody scooting away from you, Raj.
Oh, God knows, you know.
Okay.
In fact, at this rate, I'm best to get some advice from Fred there.
Yeah, I still think he makes up those stories. He just comes up with one of those every week, you know, which gets to be a little kind of crazy.
Yeah, either he's making him up or he's really, really busy. I don't know.
Oh, that's true. I mean, if it's really happening, these things are really happening to him. What an exciting life that'd be. I hope one day he's thinking about publishing his memoirs.
That reminds me, you had the stripper on, right? Your friend,
my friend the stripper, as a matter of fact. That was her name.
Right.
Yeah.
My friend at the stripper.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of that, but, so anyway, I thought I'd drop in and say.
Oh, now what reminded you that?
Fred's story.
Oh, no, this the stripper was a lovely young lady, very attractive, very well built, lovely lady.
That's all nice for us, Norm. We can't see her.
No, I know that, but I suppose that. But you could tell by her voice that she was young.
You and Tony Nesbitt, I don't know.
No, she's been a friend for a lot of years. She's a great gal, and she's married also.
Oh, she's married?
Oh, yes.
I did not know
that. Oh, yeah, no, she is married, yes. Oh, yes, otherwise I don't know what I do. I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that means.
Put on some commercials.
I've known her for a long time. In fact,
Just don't let Jack Hart in, that's all, right?
Okay. Well, but you think he'll go nuts there?
I don't know about Jack.
Okay. Anyway, it's good to talk with you,
well,
Raj.
Yeah, I think it's good to talk to you. I thought I'd say hi. And
I appreciate you doing that. Okay?
And the tuition bill for next term is in the mail, so.
I'll take care of it because you are my adopted son.
Well, thanks a lot, Norm.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And this is your friend,
Jay.
Jay, that's right. That's right. You guys just coming from a party, I understand, huh? Was it fun?
Yeah.
You didn't meet Raj there, did you? The fellow I was just talking to goes to MIT.
No, he wasn't at the party.
He wasn't at the party because he, oh, no, that's right. He was on the Spirit of Boston, of Massachusetts with the boat. Well, it's good to see you both.
You too.
Is that the end of our conversation?
Came to say hi. We heard Tony on the radio, but he went home.
Did you miss him? Did he leave the building before he got here?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's his loss, for heaven's sakes. Let me talk with, I'll talk with this guy. Here's a man in Indiana, Jim.
Hi, Jim. How you doing, Norm?
I'm doing pretty good, Jim, but depends on how high your standards are.
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Hey, Norm, got an honest question for you, and I'd like your opinion.
Okay.
And also, I was wanting to sign up for the dumb birthday game.
Oh, well, okay. I don't know whether we have a full slate. I'll turn you over to Brian anyway. He can tell you that. Give you the answer. I don't know. I kind of have a feeling we've already reached the peak on that. But if you want to ask me an honest question, that's good. I can answer dishonest questions a lot more easily.
No.
Okay.
Honest question.
Okay.
Actually, I'd like your opinion. You know that guy, Mark Russell, the political satirist who does the specials that
yes.
are on WGBH?
Yep. That's right, yes. He broadcasts, he films his stuff up in Buffalo, New York for some reason, yes.
Yeah.
I do know who you mean. I've seen his show a lot, and I saw him live one time.
What do you think of his political humor? Do you think it's kind of offbeat or right on the nose? Or
I think a lot of it's kind of interesting because he sets a lot of his stuff to music and stands up playing the piano as he accompanies himself. I think he's sharp. Yeah, I haven't seen him for a little while now that you mention it.
Well, the reason I asked is I just taped his most recent special that aired a couple of weeks ago. And he did a pretty good job talking about things like O.J. Simpson and Haiti and the Clintons, health care, gun control, the works. I mean, the guy really knows his stuff. He's really up to date.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He works out, usually works out of a hotel in Washington, D.C., and I guess he's been there for years and years. And he's the guy to see, you know, if he wants political satire. In Cambridge, the one in Cambridge, that's not W, well, what would that be? Oh, no, is that the one at, what, the 710 on the dial or something like that?
Around there, yeah.
740?
It's right smack in the middle. Around 13-something. I don't think we're supposed to mention the names on the air, are we?
You can mention it on this program, because I don't mind if they don't mind over there.
That's why I don't want to do it. I don't know if they mind here or not.
They might not like you calling another radio station while you're working there. See, from my viewpoint, it'd be kind of nice. I say even people who work at other radio stations listen to us.
Plus, I'm working at a cable station, too.
Are you?
Yeah, I work down at Arlington Cable now.
Well, that's great. You sound like you're keeping yourself very busy,
well,
Marianne.
I want to get into broadcasting full-time. I'm still working at Children's full-time, but I want to get into broadcasting full-time.
Well, it's a high-paying glamour field. I want to tell you, make the big bucks here, and you meet all kinds of wondrous people who love you because you're in the big time.
Well, I want to be a sportscaster. That's my dream.
Yeah, that's not as much fun as being like a weekend all-night talk host, but it's the second best thing, probably.
Well, I'm willing to do the all-night. I do anything. I'm putting 26 hours in here every day.
Well, I wish you good luck. With that kind of determination, is my Hungarian ship... No, never mind. Hey, I got to get going, but thank you, Marianne.
Oh, okay.
Does Tony want to talk to me on the air? Okay. It's Tony's on the line.
No, I've been just hanging here for hours on end.
Well, I don't know. I thought you were just waiting for the dumb birthday game to begin.
No, I heard Sarah on the air, and I missed
Sarah's
that.
Sarah's on the air with her friend Jay.
Yeah.
They're both here.
Never mind, Jay. I wanted to talk to Sam.
Tony, you didn't call me back.
Because I've been working on it.
Oh.
I've been working on it.
All right.
Is that the end of the conversation?
Thank you very much.
Is that the whole thing?
I don't know. How are you, Sarah?
I'm doing okay. How was your vacation?
Oh, my vacation was fantastic, which leads me to ask you this question.
What? You didn't come in with me.
Though I know you have problems with the scrapes with the law up in New Hampshire, you probably can be no help to me.
What? I got a ticket up there that I'm going to fight. But do you have any connections and just wipe it out for me?
What town?
It was Plymouth District.
Oh, Tony, I don't know anyone in Plymouth.
Okay. It was also state police stuff, wasn't it?
Yep.
You know, do you have a big in with the
If I did, I don't. I probably wouldn't be smart to say, yeah, Tony, I know this guy named so-and-so and so-and-so, right? You know?
It has just saved me the time of going up there and fighting it, but it certainly is a very, very...
How much is the ticket for?
Oh, it was a speeding ticket, and it was like 86-something, and we weren't speeding, and we weren't doing anything else wrong also, and I'm just very determined about this, because he was wrong, but I, of course, they probably won't see it that way. As the usual, the judge would say, well, why would he lie to us? Because it was a Labor Day weekend, Your Honor, that's why, and they were trying to make their quota, maybe that's it.
No, so a lot of times, though, you can go to court, and if the cop doesn't show up, you automatically win, right?
Yeah, there was maybe a mistake or two on the ticket I hopefully can get. But other than that...
You're going to fight it, aren't you?
Oh, I certainly am.
So I think if you just make good arguments, you'll be in okay shape.
I'm getting the poster board out and drawing up charts, and I'm going to... In fact, I may even call the company GM that manufactured the car and get some kind of acceleration information on this car and say it was impossible to accelerate to that speed in that amount of time. I'll bedazzle them.
Okay.
They'll be so sick of me, they'll hold me in contempt, and you won't see me for a long time.
There's this guy, Perot, who does great with charts and stuff. You might get him to help you out.
Get some pie charts.
He's coming to UNH, too, a couple of weeks.
Is he?
Yeah. Well,
maybe he can help
Next Saturday
me.
Night, I think.
Maybe I can ask him just to pay it off. He's got a few billion.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't believe this program is being used in this manner.
Isn't this Norm Nathan looking at the wall?
No.
United we stand.
Well, that's right. I just called and said, sorry, I missed you. And
Tony, I'm happy to talk to you. Will you call me someday?
I certainly will.
We can just talk not even about that.
You bet, of course.
That sounds good.
I will. Why don't you come up and cover my case?
Well, it's a little far. But you know what? If you guys go to New Hampshire again, you should stop and...
Yeah, try to get a ticket. Try to get a ticket.
A little slower.
Portsmouth?
Yeah, try to get a ticket at Portsmouth. That's right, or Newcastle.
It's because you drive that car.
I was in a rent-a-boat.
Oh, you weren't even in your car?
No, I was in this big Chevy Caprice.
Can I tell everyone what kind of car you drive?
Yeah, you can.
I'm not sure I'm right. I think it's a Camaro.
Yes, it is.
And it has license plates that say heavy metal.
Stop me.
Right? Heavy
yes,
metal?
That's my real point.
No, why do you get bagged all the time, man? I would bag you, too.
Yeah, but he wasn't
but
driving
wasn't in
that
the car.
He was driving a different
car. Yeah, they knew, though. They could just tell.
I wasn't even driving when it happened.
Well, will you guys stop this?
Tony, we got news coming up in 30 seconds.
Norm already missed one before, so.
No, it's actually only 26 after 2. I want to, Addie, remember Addie from Everett? She's on the line.
Is she?
Yes.
I hope she's got her gingham apron on.
Tony, I'm going to call you at 3:30.
No, please don't. I'm going to sleep.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, bye-bye, Tony. And Addie.
Good morning, Norm. I really think we ought to set up a legal defense fund for Tony.
Yeah, that's right. There we go.
Maybe we could call OJ and ask him to share some of his funds for us.
That's right. I think OJ has been doing something to raise additional funds. Wasn't he just signing autographs and doing something?
Yeah.
Maybe Tony could sign autographs. Do you think they'd bring any kind of money in?
I don't think so. Not in Tony's signature. They'd probably think it was a forge.
Hey, tell me what you're doing now.
Well, right now, I am resting from a full day of labor, and also all week I've been canning peaches.
Oh, Addie, I would have expected somebody like you in your gingham apron to do something like canning peaches.
Well,
my
daughter has this beautiful peach tree right outside her back door, and they were all ripe, and she brought me basket after basket, so I have been canning peaches till I can't stand the sight of the dang thing.
Are these nice and soft peaches?
Yeah, fully ripe. My granddaughter took a bite of one, and the juice went right across the room and spread at her friend.
Oh, that's so romantic.
Yeah, it's the kind where the juice just runs down your chin.
Oh, yeah, because I have a peach tree that the peaches are hard all the time. I guess it's a different brand. Anyway, you can't see the peach tree right now because I haven't mowed the lawn in about 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And so everything is undergrowth.
If you do, next spring, take a pitchfork and loosen all the dirt around the base.
Every year we have to get a boyfriend that'll do it for us. That's what we do.
Yeah. We haven't had a boyfriend do that for about 3 years now. I've had guys who talk about lawn maintenance come up and they look at it and they can't wait to get away from us fast enough. That's the truth.
They have no farmer in them.
There's no farm at all. No.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, no farmer in them. But if next spring you loosen all the dirt around the roots.
Okay, we'll do that.
Put lime in there. It sweetens the peaches, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Also, my daughter planted a lot of marigolds around the tree to help keep the bugs away this year.
Yeah.
And there wasn't one that had not one blemish on any of them.
Well, that is just so darn interesting.
I know, isn't it? But I'm so sick of canning peaches.
No, I know it.
It is an all-day process once you start, because you can't just say, oh, I've had enough today and quit.
Can't do that, no.
No, you can't.
Got all those mason jars there.
I know.
You got to fill them up, you know, and you can't waste no peaches.
Yeah, get all those beer bubbles out and all that other good stuff.
That's right, because once the peaches are canned, once they're gone, they don't come around again till next year.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, oh, yeah.
Canned some, made peach butter and some peach jam.
That peach jam is awful nice.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, sure.
I've come to the conclusion that Fred must lead an awfully dull life because every weekend he calls with some sexual problem.
That's right. Most of his problems have been either been accused of stealing women's underwear off their lines, or the guy who turned out, this beautiful woman he took out turned out to be a guy. Oh, that's right. I never thought of that.
Yeah, every weekend
that's
it's a sexual problem with this man.
That's right. I'd forgotten about that.
Maybe this is his. Maybe you are the outlet of his fantasies.
I don't like the way that sounded at all. I got to get going. We have news coming up. But good to talk to you, Andy, and happy peach tree picking.
Thank you kindly.
Bye-bye.
Sure, because I remember you down through the years, you know, with different things. And I used to read your column in the Herald.
Yeah, that was my wife's column.
And
actually.
Your wife's column. We both you had a column.
No, I didn't. I write a little freaky thing. No, she's the columnist. She was the one who had the I column in the Herald. That was not me.
I enjoyed it, but I don't read papers much anymore, and so I really don't know, you know.
Oh, really? What did you do? Kind of turn the world off, did you?
Well, no, I retired, and I have glaucoma, so I don't read.
Oh, I see.
I listen to the radio, and I watch television. I do that well, but it's kind of hard to read.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, but I do enjoy, and I enjoy Bob, too. I called him this week. I've been listening to you people all summer.
Well, we thank you very much for that, and I thank you for the call. You're okay.
I'll call you again.
I hope you will.
I love your game you have on. It's just going to laugh.
Okay, that's good.
That dumb birthday.
That dumb birthday. It is a dumb birthday game. Thanks a lot, Dottie.
All right, dear.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we'll go to B in Braintree. That rhymes. That's kind of a nice rhyme. B?
B, yep.
B in Braintree. Yeah,
yep.
B.
B-E-A.
B-E-A, yeah. Uh-huh. How you doing, B?
Oh, pretty good. Just got out of the hospital.
Yeah?
Yeah, listen, I'm sorry I missed you on TV the other night. But
I wasn't on for more than 2 seconds, I think. You didn't miss much.
Well, I just happened to get a glimpse of you. Kind of stocky.
Yes, I am. I'm a big fat guy. Big fat old guy.
But you know what my husband says?
Yeah?
He says, well, don't they have to have 2 cheers for Bob Raleigh?
No, he's built much better than I am. No, he's not fat.
I thought he wasn't. My husband's never talked to him, so I don't know where we got that idea. Tell me, I'd love to go to the farm stand, and even though I just got out of the hospital Thursday. I'm handicapped. I'm an amputee, and I'm in a wheelchair now. Is there any way we can park special? You know.
Boy, I don't know. I suppose if you get there early enough, you can. I would think so, but I can't really promise because I don't know.
I have the HP plate.
You do? What's that again?
I have the HP plate, the handicap plate.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, there may be. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. See, I don't arrange those things, so I don't really know. But I would think that they would certainly take good care of you as a result of that. I would think so.
Yeah, I want to.
I can't promise because I don't really know, but I would think so.
I really want to go see because this is Dave Maynard's last stand.
Yeah, of course, last year he said the same thing, but this may very well be the last time.
Yeah, because he's going to Florida.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That's true. Yeah, you're
now,
right.
What's the directions to there? I come from Braintree. Where would I go?
Well, you get onto Route 93.
93.
Yeah, in other words, when you're coming up from Braintree, you're on the southeast, you're on the expressway, and you're crossing over the central artery.
Yeah.
And then you take Route 93, splits off of there.
Yeah.
And just follow that all the way up to exit 39.
Exit 39.
Yeah, just remember for 93, it's 39, that's 93 backwards, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you get off 93, you'll see lots of signs. It's the Wilmington Shriners Auditorium in Wilmington. And it's well marked at that point. You won't have any trouble finding it.
How long of a ride would it be up there?
Oh, let's see, from Braintree, maybe about four, depends on how much traffic. You shouldn't be running into much traffic today.
Yeah.
So I'd say 40 minutes, maybe, something like that.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, 45 at the very most. I wouldn't think it'd take more than that.
I could go around in my wheelchair.
Yes. Yeah, everything is on the outside.
Yeah.
Well, there are some things inside, but I think that's wheelchair accessible. I'm not sure, but most of the way you get the breakfast and where you can get the foods and the petting zoos, all of that's all outside, and it's all level.
I listen to you every weekend.
Well, thank you.
I love your program. You have a great wit.
Thank you. Maybe we'll see you a little bit later at the farm stand then.
Yeah, I'll go up and introduce myself.
I wish you would. I'd like that.
Yeah, I'm a little redhead.
I'll look for the little redhead in the wheelchair.
Yeah, I'm no young chicken. I'm 76.
Okay, I'll look for an old chicken then.
Okay.
Take care, B.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, Eric in Boston. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. I was just listening to you earlier talking about the Haiti incident there, and I have a question.
Yeah, don't get too heavy on us. You won't do that, will you, Eric? Because we're sort of steering away from really serious stuff. Because they do so much of that during the daytime, and a lot of other stations do it all night long, so that we kind of take things a little bit lighter.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I just want to say is that, they should find some other way to get around the situation besides just sending our fleets over there and, just figure out some type of idea how to prevent sending the fleets over. Just find another way how to do it.
I would hope so.
Huh?
I would hope so. I would hope we wouldn't send troops in.
Yeah, because, what's going to happen is that we're going to get the same thing that we had with the Persian Gulf thing. All our soldiers, some of them coming back a little sick from the incident.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. No, I would hope, I was really not terribly enthusiastic about the Persian Gulf War or the Grenada thing, and I'm not at all enthusiastic about this one either. I hope they can work their way out of it. Anyway, Eric, thank you very, very much. Sometimes you go so far, it's kind of hard to back down, after you go this far. I just don't see this whole thing. But anyway, that's a whole other stuff. We'll stay away from that for now, because everybody's been talking about it. And it gets a little rough after a while. Bill in Chelsea, how you doing? Good morning, Bill.
Good. How you doing, Norm? I only can speak for a minute because I'm at work.
Okay. I'll take a minute from you, but that'll be just great.
Okay, because you were mentioning the story about the lottery just before 4 o'clock and the guy who burnt down his house.
Yes.
Well, it was a guy in South Boston a couple of years ago. I don't know if you remember. He won the Mega Bucks, and 1 week went by, and he got calls from financial advisors and banks and people begging for money because they're out of work. It was so bad, he took a heart attack and died. After 1 week.
Oh, isn't that awful? Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's funny. You don't hear too many stories about people after they win these huge sums of money. And there are a lot of, there have been a lot of winners through the years here in Massachusetts. Whatever happens to them, some of them seem not to be too terribly happy.
No.
Things like that happen.
A lot of people go bankrupt, too, before they even collect all their winnings.
Yeah. Well, look at it this way. Now, here's this guy. This is a guy in Ohio. He gets $300,000 a year. In the past, on his regular job, he made $14,000. Now, suddenly, he's making $300,000 a year. Unless you know how to handle your money, it gets kind of nutty because certain taxes are taken out, all that, and then you want to invest it. And how do you know how to invest it if you've never, ever experienced that kind of money before?
Yeah.
So it can be kind of rough. Somebody always says, boy, if I had $1 million, boy, I'd just retire and I'd do this and I would do that. But what if you really did have $1 million? Would you know how to handle that much money?
No. In fact, a kid that works down the street from where I live in Malden, he works for one of them convenience stores. He sent in his losing tickets to the Channel 7, and they drew one of his losing tickets out, and they had one of them Wild Win 20 shows, and he won the grand prize, which was $250,000 a year for life.
No kidding.
And he was only 22 years old.
And this was for life?
This was for life. It was the grand prize they had, not this summer, but last summer.
Mm.
And they just had another show this past summer. With a lower
price. You wonder whatever happened to him, and is he handling it okay, or is he going nutty, or what's happening?
Well, I've only seen him once at the Super Stop and Shop, and he was dressed, you know, to the nines and everything, wearing nice clothes and full cart of food and everything like that. But before that, he was just, working at the convenience store. In fact, he even actually worked the last 2 weeks, gave his guy 2 weeks notice before he left.
Oh, really? That was very decent of him to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you just wonder, you know, with that kind of an inflow, all that money coming to you on a regular basis, I don't know. I don't know that I can handle it.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of fun to find out, I suppose. Or maybe it wouldn't be fun. It isn't fun for some people. Mm-hmm. I wish you good luck, Bill. If you win big sums of money, let me know how you're doing with it.
In fact, friends of mine live up in Middleton. They see you all the time at the supermarket up there.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, in fact, their kids went to school with your daughter.
What? Can you tell me their names?
Yeah, Ronsky.
Ronsky. Ronsky, I think I do know them.
They only live a couple of streets over from you.
Okay.
And she always sees you at Shaw's, I guess it is. You shop at Shaw's or DeMoulas or something?
DeMoulas, yeah. The market basket.
Yeah.
That's the only big supermarket we have in town.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. Tell her next time you see her to come over and say hello. She apparently has not done that. Or
no.
Maybe she has without mentioning her name.
But they always go to the town meetings. They know you're from there, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great enough.
Okay, good talking to you, Norm.
Nice talking to you, Bill.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have some open lines at 254-1030. We'll go to Betty in Sudbury. Hello, Betty in Sudbury.
Hi, I'm the one that you came to my kids at Kennedy and Waltham.
Oh, yes, of course.
You survived that ordeal, didn't you?
Yeah, that was another thing I was nervous about, because I'd never talked to high school kids. We talked about jazz, but the kids were great, and you guys were great. It was lovely to see you and the other members of the faculty who dropped into the library that day to talk. That was nice.
Oh, I'm telling you, you were the greatest thing. I think that your biggest fans, of course, were the faculty age level.
Well, they were very nice. I'm glad to hear that, because I enjoyed that. It was a lovely school.
Well, yes, it is a very nice school.
Now, are you still there? Or are you a...
Yes, I go there first thing every morning, and I teach one or two classes, and then I go to an elementary level.
Yes, that's right, because I remember you did that the morning that I was there. You were taken off for another school.
Right, I'm still running. I'm still teaching over 900 kids a week.
Oh, boy. Now, did you have a good summer? Do you have a chance to have a real vacation during summertime?
Actually, I had a very busy summer. My daughter-in-law's two nephews were here from Mexico for 8 weeks, and I took some of the kids up to the darts program at Tanglewood for 1 week, and then I also went to Williams College, which is the MTA, that's the Massachusetts Teachers Association, summer institute, which was beautiful. Williams College is such a gorgeous campus.
Oh, it is lovely there. Yeah.
I don't know why I never went before.
Yeah, no, it is nice. I have a a friend. I guess he's sort of a nephew in a way through marriage and stuff. Anyway, he lives in Williamstown.
Oh.
So I used to go out more often to see him out there. But that part of Massachusetts, anyway, is a delightful part of the state, that whole western part.
Well, I drove out, when I went out in the morning and went out the Mohawk Trail, and that is just spectacular.
Imagine.
I hadn't been driven that for many, many years.
Oh, I would imagine in about 2 or 3 weeks when the foliage is abloom.
Of course, they always keep talking about the foliage and the Mohawk Trail, but it was pretty in the summertime with the all the green, and then when you there's like a horseshoe turn, you look down on.
I know just the turn you're talking about. Yes, yes.
It really is like something out of another world.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is beautiful through that whole section. Through
anyway,
that. What did you do at Williams?
This was the
MTA. You said.
Teachers Association.
That's right. You just
they
said.
Have a leader. It's like a leadership training conference for. For example, if a person's going to be a new president or treasurer of their local organization, you know, there's so many laws and new things coming up, they need to have some intensive training before they go into a new job. And then I went out just as a teacher. And what I liked about it was even just sitting down at the dining room table and talking to other teachers from all around the state. Was a learning experience. Plus, there was something going on all the time. I took some of the pre-retirement seminars for obvious reasons, but I am very interested and took the seminars on all this privatization thing, which really scares me. I'm a real believer in public education and. I'm afraid that monies are going to be siphoned off. $5,500 goes out of every local town school budget when a kid goes to another town right now. And starting in fall of 95, the charter schools, every kid that goes to a charter school, that comes out of the local school budget.
You're talking about the program where... A child can. What do they call that program? They go to another public. It's still a public school.
They can choose to go to a school, say in a neighboring town.
Yeah.
For example, if they lived in a poor town that didn't have a good school system.
I know they could go to.
And the money goes with them.
Yeah. But I was trying to think of what that's called.
It's not the voucher system. The voucher system.
No, no, no.
Can go to a private school.
Yeah, no, no, no. I understand. This is just another public
school. I've kind of forgotten the terminology well used.
Well, the word choice is somewhere
choice,
in there.
Choice, yeah. In any event, I
understand what you're saying, and I appreciate the fact that when kids are taken out of their own school, if it's a poorer school. The school loses the money because the money then goes to the wealthier school
right.
if they go into a wealthier school, and usually the wealthier ones are the ones the kids want to go to.
I was very proud of Sudbury, where I live. The school committee opted not to accept out-of-towners because we could have, I mean, like the Maynard kids could have opted to come here, and that would have done a job on Maynard.
Yeah, I can understand that. I got to get going. Suddenly it's almost 5 o'clock, and I got to get off the air, Betty.
Okay, nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you too. Thanks. Okay, it is time to say goodbye. On behalf of Brian McKinley, our producer, and the lovely Marilyn Gorelick, and myself, the almost good-looking Norm Nathan Person News.
Fly you from Boston to Halifax nonstop, twice daily, and you get mileage plus or one pass miles. Air Canada, a welcome departure.
The WBZ 24-hour traffic network bunker with his bare hands, ladies and gentlemen, traffic guru, sensei, Jack Hart.
Yeah. Until I guess about 11 o'clock, it was a lovely spot, and there was kind of a sadness in a sense because I think this will be the last one. I'm not sure, but last one certainly headed by Dave Maynard. I can't imagine anybody else doing the kind of great job that he has done. But it had the usual petting zoos and all the food that was on display, and some great musicians were playing lovely things. One band especially was playing the Count Basie things, and just on and on. And it was good to meet so many people who dropped by. I appreciate it. Also, Gary LaPierre was there, Peter Mead, of course, Dave Maynard, and just a whole lot of people. And all those of you who I had a chance to say hello to, I thank you very, very much. Come close. I don't want everybody to hear this. But you were just so darn nice. Thank you. Okay, hey, let's...
You know, I turn you on, and I have been falling asleep, but I want to explain quickly that is not because you bore me. It's because I've been trying to get off coffee.
I'm sorry, you've been trying to get off what?
Coffee. I've been trying to reduce my caffeine addiction.
Oh.
And as a result, I can't stay awake. I miss most of your program.
Oh, my goodness. What a nasty thing. But that's kind of nice. Do they have a group like a Caffeine Anonymous group or anything? You can hold somebody's hand when you want to reach for coffee?
Well, I've done it alone. I tapered off. There was a time I was drinking about 10 cups a day, and now I'm down to one in the morning. But the result is I miss most of you, which I miss. But even if I'm semi-conscious, of course, now all the lines are lit up, but in that state, when I hear that rather plaintive note in your voice as you announce that there are a lot of open lines.
I know. You're really great. I really appreciate it. We've got to put a little star in your forehead, because you always come to my rescue, and I really appreciate that, especially now that you're giving up coffee and all that, too.
Well, I have coffee in the morning, and about late afternoon, between 4 and 5, I have tea. And once in a great while, just for the sake of my image, I'll have some cucumber sandwiches with it.
Do you have a great image in Belmont as the lady who eats cucumber sandwiches?
No, but I do among a couple of your listeners.
That's kind of funny. I remember we used to think, when I was growing up in Everett, we used to think that the height of civility was when the crust was cut off. Not even the kind of the European style bread, which has very heavy crust, but the white bread, you know, the kind of nothing kind of bread. If you cut off the crust and you cut the sandwiches diagonal, we thought somebody who didn't even belong in Everett, they should be up on Beacon Hill somewhere with that kind of a, and cucumber sandwiches were on top of that.
My main experience with cucumber sandwiches was once when I was in it, The Importance of Being Earnest, playing Lady Bracknell. And the lovely, lovely woman who was doing props was a method prop woman.
Well, now, how does that work?
Because when we had to have cucumber sandwiches, she had cucumber in them. They couldn't be seen from the audience. But that was the way she operated. Oh,
that's kind of funny. And when you had, you were drinking a vodka cocktail or a scotch, was there real booze there? She didn't go that far.
There were rules against that. But I remember I also was in the Royal... She did props when I was in the Royal Family playing the galleon part. And I had to drink an eggnog in the first act, and she made a real eggnog. And I told her later that it was delicious but fattening, and would she please just give me skim milk after that? She did, but it hurt her.
That's kind of funny. I'd never heard of that. You know something? You've lived, and
I'm
still living a full life, an exciting life, and I really respect that.
When I stay awake, I do.
Okay.
Good night, love.
Good night, Elaine. Nice to talk with you as always. He's been here for a long time. I never met him before.
Is that right?
Yeah, a man named Ed Goldman turned out to be a nice guy, and I thought, how come you're liking a manager of a radio station? What's happening to you, Nathan? You're falling apart. But he seemed like a very decent guy. But I met a lot of other listeners to the station and stuff would come by.
Uh-huh.
And it was a great pleasure to see them. I'm sorry that you weren't among them.
Oh, I wanted so much, but I really just couldn't make it. And I knew that I was, you know, I was going to have a difficult time in making it. But anyhow, I saw a little bit on the Channel 4, and I did get I caught a glimpse of Dave Maynard, and I thought, now what does Norman look like? Maybe he's there.
Okay, well, actually, compared to Dave, I'm kind of an odd-looking duck. And also, Gary LaPierre was there, and Peter Mead,
mm-hmm.
who just works here occasionally now, but he used to work here on a regular basis. They were there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of good people. And I left about 11 o'clock, and the rain had held off at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I think it started to rain later on. I don't know whether that affected the farm stand or not.
Mm-hmm.
The rain might have held off long enough. So, but they had a lot of really nice things.
Uh-huh. Did you get back there again, or
No. I left from here, and went right to the farm stand.
Oh, yeah,
so I
you were tired.
So I was a tired little baby.
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
Norm, how did the comedy night go?
Okay, can you hold on and we'll talk after the headlines?
Oh, sure.
It was a nice night. They had a good crowd there at the Comedy Connection at Faneuil Hall. There were about 500 people, 600. They made a fair amount of money for the for Life House,
uh-huh.
which was the... a home for the homeless and stuff in Dorchester and things.
Right.
And it was good. There just about, gangs of people were there from broadcasting who gave their talks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it went well. I thought it was an interesting night.
Good. What was one?
5, because, you know, they would say, boy, this is the worst night of the year. And she said, you know, meanwhile, they're in the warm studio and she's out there.
Yeah,
and this is the worst night of the year. Let's go to Susan Warnick out at maybe 128 also.
Yeah, right in front of the studio.
Yeah, and Bruce Schrager, yeah. A lot of weather stuff. Harvey Leonard was kidding about his kids poking fun at him for losing his hair. Have you noticed that? His hairline seems to be going back more and more each year, but I'm not one to speak. Anyway, there were a lot of it was a fun night, and I think for a gang of people who, you know, we're not used to standing up on stage in a very interesting place like the Comedy Connection, which was one of the best comedy clubs around, mm-hmm. and trying to entertain people and making them laugh. It's a tough thing to do, and I really admire the people who did that. Special admire me because I thought I was just wonderful.
Oh, I know you were.
No, I'm making
that
up.
Bet you were. Yeah, and I'm sure you wrote your own lines. Right?
Yeah, I did write everything I used.
I know you did
do that, yes.
Yeah.
They may not have been funny, but they were original with me.
Good. That's wonderful.
Hey,
that's great.
What an audience you are, Jude. Thanks for calling.
Okay, you have a good weekend now,
you too.
Listen for you next week.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Joe. Pete Floyd.
Well, you're going to be surprised. It's Ken Newman.
Hold on just a minute. Let me make changes to the marquee. Ken Newman, you're going to be with us all through the night.
I am indeed.
Oh, that's good. And you'll be playing the dumb birthday game, and we'll have just a darn much fun.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, too. It just is such a splendid night. Anyway, what's doing so far as notice the lead-in is just so clever the way I say this.
Good
just
segue.
like daytime news people say, what's the traffic?
Norm was right. What a silly way to make a living. And there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, let me go and start working on the next episode and see if I can get back on track. Closing the vault and leaving this world a little sillier than we found it for the Shriners in Shriners Auditorium in Wilmington, Mass. The Comedy Connection. Faneuil Hall, Exxon, Sarge, the former Boston Police Department horse, Gingham Aprons, the New Hampshire State Police, Plymouth County Courthouse, the excellent charity known as Adopt a Talk Show Host, Pythons, Llamas, Shelby Scott, Bruce Schwegler, Arlene the Sex Phone Operator, Peter Mead, Gravestones, Raj from MIT, Fred from New Jersey, Fred from Medford, Robert from Everett, Paul Elwell, Queen of the Farm Stand, Ruth Clement, Josh Binswanger, Brian McKinley, Jack Hart, Sarah Nathan, and the Dr. Ruth of WBZ, Norm Nathan. I'm Tony Nesbitt, Esquire.